Imagine, like, a shark hauling itself completely out of the ocean, just using its fins to literally crawl across dry rocks. Welcome to today's deep dive.
Yeah, if you thought the shallow tide pools were already totally explored, well, we have some genuinely incredible news for you today.
Right, exactly. Our mission today is to dig into this new marine species discovery and honestly some massive conservation victories, which is such a nice change of pace.
It really is. I mean, we were talking about epaulette sharks, right? The Hemiscilium genus. Mm-hmm. They are total evolutionary rule breakers.
Oh, 100%. They use their pectoral fins to actually walk along the seafloor. And what blows my mind is they can survive up to an hour out of the water on a single breath. But wait, I mean, sharks don't have lungs.
No, they definitely don't.
So how are they sitting on dry rocks for an hour without suffocating?
So they basically put their bodies into this extreme power-saving mode. Like, when they get stranded in a low-oxygen tide pool, they drastically slow down their heart rate. Yeah, they actually power down non-essential neural functions in their brains, so it lets them survive on just whatever residual oxygen is left in their bloodstream until the tide comes back.
That is wild. So they evolved this, what, like 9 million years ago just to monopolize those tide pools where all the crabs and worms are trapped?
Exactly.
It's like having a VIP pass to an exclusive buffet. But instead of a bouncer, the entry requirement is just, you know, surviving without oxygen.
That is a great way to put it. And that extreme, highly localized lifestyle is the exact engine driving their evolution.
How so?
Well, think of it like a medieval village that gets completely cut off because a bridge collapsed. Over centuries, that isolated village develops its own totally unique language.
Oh, right. Because these sharks are slow bottom dwellers. So if a sandbar shifts or water levels drop, a small group just gets trapped. They can't swim across the deep ocean to get back to the main group.
Right, and that geographical isolation acts like an evolutionary pressure cooker. They mutate and adapt to their specific little pocket of the coast, which forms brand new species incredibly fast.
Which means we are literally watching new species form in real time. And that brings us to the news from Papua New Guinea from just last month, in June 2026.
Yes, researchers formally described a totally new species, Hemiscilium dugenae.
And it sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. Instead of the usual leopard spots, it has these white dashes all over its body, almost like Morse code. But, I mean, I'm struggling with this. How does a meter-long shark stay hidden for this long in coastal shallows? We always expect, you know, undiscovered monsters in the abyss.
Well, it highlights a massive blind spot we have. We just assume we've seen everything in the shallows, but these sharks are nocturnal.
Oh, so they only really come out at night.
Yeah, and their camouflage blends perfectly into reef rubble. Plus, their ranges are incredibly tiny. Sometimes an entire species exists in just a few square kilometers.
So if you aren't pointing a flashlight into the exact right tide pool at 2 a.m, you just miss them entirely.
You'd walk right past a species completely unknown to science.
But wait, finding a localized species with a tiny range usually sets off alarm bells, right? Especially with habitat loss. I know the source study mentioned that if the water hits 31 degrees Celsius, their embryo development just plummets. Why is that heat so lethal? Does it, like, cook the eggs?
It's actually an oxygen crisis. Warmer water holds less dissolved oxygen. So at 31 degrees, the metabolic demand of the embryo spikes, but the surrounding water just can't provide enough oxygen.
So they would basically suffocate inside the egg case.
Exactly. It's a severe physiological limit.
But here is the fantastic news. Even with that thermal threat, governments are acting aggressively. Indonesia recently declared all walking sharks fully protected.
Yes, and in Raja Ampat, 80% of the local species range is sheltered inside marine protected areas.
That is huge.
It really is. They're rolling out national plans of action, enforcing strict no-catch zones, and actively restoring degraded reefs. And because of booming ecotourism, locals realize these sharks are far more valuable alive.
Right. So by eliminating those immediate human threats, like fishing and habitat destruction, we're giving these localized populations the robust health they need to withstand the broader threat of climate change.
Exactly. It is a brilliant reminder that local action can actually secure a future for these highly vulnerable niche species.
It's just a fantastic win. We get the thrill of a brand new scientific discovery and proactive conservation all at once. But it does leave you wondering, you know, if a meter-long walking shark wearing Morse code camouflage could stay completely undetected until 2026 just because its range was so tiny?
Yeah.
What other miraculous creatures might be crawling right beneath your feet the next time you visit the ocean? Something to keep an eye out for.